the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Saturday edition of the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next half hour as we bring you some beautiful Christian music and continue with our Saturday-only series, Wonderful Christ, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Dr. Green looks at several scriptures today, so get your Bibles out if you can and follow along. But right now, we're going to hear Face to Face. Enjoy the music and then the message.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Father, thank you for the privilege of broadcasting the gospel. Thank you for this last year. Oh God, how we thank you for the hundreds who've been saved, for the hundreds of letters that have come in from all over the country telling us of the precious souls that have been born again by the radio. Thank you, Father. And as we come to the close on these last broadcasts, Lord, save many souls in these last days, and we'll give you the praise. Father, honor thy word as I speak today. Bear it home to the heart that's nearest hell. Reclaim the backslidden. Revive the indifferent. And now, Father, I ask you with a humble heart, you lay it upon the hearts of those who are able and can to give, that we might begin the new year with a clear sheet with all the radio bills and all the bills paid. And we'll give God the praise and thank God for the dear people who are willing to stand by us in this gospel ministry. We ask all these favors with thanksgiving in the name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen. So far, we have discussed the phase, that is, the parts of the name of the child. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, we talked about the Mighty God, and Jesus was the Mighty God. The Everlasting Father, we talked about that. And now, today and tomorrow, we're going to talk about the Prince of Peace. Now, beloved, there is much confusion in the land, religiously speaking, and there always has been, and always will be, until the Prince of Peace returns to this earth, and then he will straighten out all the confusion, and of course, we'll know the truth then. Of course, many know the truth now. But there is much confusion about this business of Jesus being the one that would bring peace in this church age. Now let me say this, beloved. There are many people who claim to be scholars of the Word of God. They claim to be scholars and they claim to know the Bible. But they teach that the church was put here to bring in the kingdom, to bring peace on earth and goodwill toward men. But now listen. Let's use a little common sense. The church is God's organism. It is a living body. Now, the church was put here for a purpose. What is it? The last chapter of Matthew, the last chapter of Mark, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Now listen, the church was never put on this earth to bring peace on earth. There will never be lasting peace on this earth until the Lord Jesus Christ sits on the throne of his father David, and the knowledge of the Lord covers the earth as the waters now cover the sea. And beloved, that will never take place until Jesus comes back again. Now let me show you something, beloved. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'll begin reading with verse 13. And then I want you to turn with me to Zechariah chapter 14. Now, Zechariah is on page 978 in the Scofield Bible. That's 978. That's Zechariah, page 978. Now, 1 Thessalonians is on page 1269. Now, I'm reading, first of all, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, I had a letter, a long, long typewritten letter. I read it just a couple of days ago. And this dear man was trying to straighten me out on my prophecy. Now, he said, "Preacher," he said, "you need somebody to straighten you out." Now, wait a minute. The truth of the thing is, the dear man does not need somebody to straighten him out. He needs to let the Word of God straighten him out. Now, let me show you something as clear, and it's as plain as a nose on your face. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now, those who are resting in Jesus, they're resting in paradise. Their bodies are in the grave. They are resting with Jesus. Now listen, God will bring with him, with Jesus. Now wait a minute. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord." We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede or prevent, that means hinder, or go before them which are asleep. Now listen. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, this is as clear can be. Now, Paul said, I don't want you Thessalonian Christians to be ignorant Christians. Now, he said, if you believe Jesus died and rose again, now it's imperative to believe that if you're saved. We must believe that Jesus died and rose again if we're Christian. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So that's first, that's Romans 10 and 9. Now then, it is imperative to believe that Jesus died and rose again to become a Christian. And if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, those who have died in the Lord, Jesus will bring with him. Now then, the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will be raised, their bodies will be raised. Jesus will bring their spirits with him when he descends from heaven. Now listen, and we who are alive, we believers, we born again people who are alive, will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Now get this, in the air. We'll be caught up in the clouds, caught up from the earth into the clouds to meet Jesus in the air. Now that's the rapture of the church. Now this business of a general resurrection and a general coming of Jesus, that is absolutely foreign to the Word of God. Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, and along in those verses, it says the rest of the dead live not until the 1,000 years are expired. This is the first resurrection. Now the righteous dead will be raised. The living Christians, believers born again, will be supernaturally lifted out of this earth in the twinkling of an eye, such as Enoch and Elijah were taken out of this earth without dying. Now listen. That is known as the rapture of the church, the catching away of the bride of Christ, the snatching away of the believers. That is the time that Paul talks about in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians when he says, you know perfectly well that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Now, Jesus is coming to get his jewels, to take the saints out of the earth and will be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. The righteous dead will be raised. Their bodies will be raised. Their spirit that went to be the Lord, when a Christian dies, their spirit goes immediately to be with Jesus. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's Bible. So, the rapture of the church must take place before the Antichrist can be revealed. And the time of Jacob's trouble will run its course. And at the end of the time of Jacob's trouble, Jesus will come as described in Zechariah 14. Now in your Bibles, Zechariah chapter 14, it's on page 978 in the Scofield Bible. Here it is. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Now there's nothing said about a battle pertaining to the rapture. Beloved, listen, I'm not defending a religion. I'm not defending a program or a denomination. I'm a minister that God called and put in the ministry, and I'm preaching the gospel. There is no battle mentioned concerning the rapture. When the rapture takes place, it is without notice and without sign. In other words, Jesus will come back. No man knows the day, no man knows the hour. He'll come in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and following. Jesus will come in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. He will supernaturally take every born again, blood-washed child of God out of this earth instantaneously, quicker than you can blink your eye. We'll be caught up in the clouds, caught up in the clouds to meet Jesus in the air. Now then, we will be caught up to him. But when he comes in Zechariah, listen, there will be nations gathered around Jerusalem, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of people shall not be cut off from the city. Now listen. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Now listen. And his feet, F-E-E-T, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. I've been there. I've seen the sun rise over the Mount of Olives. Many a morning I was in the Holy Land for 10 weeks. I've seen the sun rise over the Mount of Olives, and the sun rises in the east, you know. And so, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst. Now it'll split wide open. In the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half toward the south. And ye shall flee into the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Ezel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. The Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Now in the rapture he comes for his saints. In Zechariah, he comes with his saints, with all of his saints, all of his saints. Now listen, beloved, I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not wise, but I have a wonderful Bible. Jesus is coming back one of these days to get his church, the believers, the born again, not church members, not church members, the born again, the blood washed, the saved by grace. Every blood washed, born again, saved by grace, child of God, will be taken to heaven like Elijah was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire. Like Enoch, Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God and was not, God took him. Now, Jesus will catch out of this earth, supernaturally, in the twinkling of an eye, every born again, blood washed child of God. And every saint that has died since Jesus arose from the dead. Every believer. Every born again child of God that has died since Jesus was raised from the dead. They, their bodies, will come out of the grave. Their spirit will be coming with Jesus in the air. The spirit will unite with a glorified body raised from the grave. And then we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and all together we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds in the air. Now that's as plain as daylight. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Now then, Zechariah 14:1-5 plainly tells us that he will come with all his saints. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. It'll split wide open, and there'll be a great valley, and the people of God will flee to the valley. Now, beloved, here's the reason I've said all that. Now, when Jesus comes back with all of his saints, he will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. He will destroy the armies of the Antichrist. He will put the devil, the old Satan serpent, the old serpent, the devil, the dragon, he will put him into the pit for 1,000 years. Now that's Revelation 20:1-3. And he will set a seal on him, and the devil will be in the pit for 1,000 years. Jesus will sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem, and peace will cover this earth, and the knowledge of the Lord will cover this earth as the waters now cover the sea. And if you read Isaiah 11, you'll find that the wolf and the young goat and the little lamb will eat together. They'll lie down together. A little child will play with them. And they will not kill nor hurt in the holy mountain of God, because the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters now cover the sea. So you see, this is not the day of the Prince of Peace. Now I'm sure you'd like for me to read you this verse of Scripture. It's in Matthew 10:10, and here's what it says. Matthew chapter 10. And I want you to listen what the Word of God says as clearly as it can say it. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Now this is Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now that doesn't sound much like peace, does it? And I'm speaking today to homes where there is much division and hatred because Jesus lives in the hearts of some of the members of the family, and the other members who serve the devil literally hate those who are saved. And they don't like anything you do, anything you say. They think you're crazy because you go to church. They think you're crazy because you read your Bible. They think you're crazy because you pray. So there you are. This is not the hour of the Prince of Peace. The hour of the Prince of Peace, the day of the Prince of Peace, will come when Jesus stands on the Mount of Olives, and when Jesus sits on the throne in Jerusalem, and when Jesus personally reigns over this earth, and we, the born again, the bride of Christ, the church, when we reign with him. There will be what the angel announced the night Jesus was born: peace on earth and goodwill toward men, because the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water now covers the sea. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. This is the day when men are talking about peace. They are promising peace. They are advertising peace. But they're spending millions and millions and billions to build bigger bombs and faster planes to destroy man from the face of this earth. No, man will never destroy himself from the face of this earth. No, man will never blow up this universe. Jesus is coming back again. He's going to put a stop to all this mess, and he's going to destroy the works of the wicked, and Jesus will sit on the throne of David, and we'll have peace on earth and goodwill toward men, and we will reign with him for 1,000 years over a peaceful earth. Are you saved? If you are, you will be one of those who will reign with him. If you're not saved, sad but so, you'll be roasting in the lake of fire if you die. And if you don't die, if you're here when the rapture takes place, you'll go through hell on earth under the Antichrist, and then you will slip into the pits of the damned, where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. If you're not saved, I beg you to give your heart to Jesus right now. Father, take this message today, Lord God, and use it to the glory of our God, and save the dear soul that's nearest the pit today, and we'll give God the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. You know, as my dad often said many, many times, the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. But we do learn from other books, and I enjoy reading and studying from other books, and I know you do too. And so it is very enlightening many times to see what other fundamental men have to say about the Bible and teaching from that. And we have for you this week in our gift offer eye 3 great books. One by my dad, one with articles by my mother, and finally a book written by Dr. A.C. Dixon. If you don't know who he is, you need to look him up and find out more. He was a great man of God, and my dad really learned from and enjoyed reading after him. Now, all 3 of these are available to you if you simply ask for Gift Offer I or the Easter Offer and send the donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $20 or more. Send more if you can. Your gifts are needed day in and day out. And if you would like to order several sets of this offer after you hear more about it, you may do so. Just tell me how many sets that you want, and please send a gift of at least $20 for each set that you order. And in return, I'm going to send you first the book by Dr. A.C. Dixon, Heaven on Earth. My dad found this book in an old bookstore, and after he read it and studied it, he thought it was important enough to reprint it so you and I could also learn from it. Now, it is 119 pages long, a hardback book with 13 chapters, such as Heaven on Earth, The Dying Grain of Wheat, The Hero of Faith, God's Care of His People, God's Cure for the Blues, and so on. A wonderful book. Then we have Glimpses of Heaven. This is a compilation of 5 sermons by my dad in a 164-page perfect bound book. I think these are some of the best sermons that he preached and wrote on heaven. I know you will agree. Finally, Heavenly Pearls of Truth from God's Word. These are 12 articles that were written by my mother in the Gospel Hour News newspaper. 141 pages of perfect bound book. Sermons such as A String of Heavenly Pearls, Where is Your Faith, and so on. So to get all 3 of these books, just ask for offer I and send your gift of at least $20. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.